are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's time for another fan episode right here on Locked On Spurs. We're going to be discussing the Coach Popovich coaching tree and Derek White. And was it a good idea to trade him to Boston? Welcome back to Locked On Spurs. We're on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Ken's 5 San Antonio. Glad to have you back. Hope you had a great weekend. But we're back here at work right here on Lowe's. And yeah, it's another fan episode. It's one thing I love about the offseason. We get to have more fan involvement, more fans taking the mic. And today, fan is going to do that exactly right here on this show. Be looking at if Spurs fans look at the Coach Popovich coaching tree and executive tree and think, yeah, that's great, but is there a little resentment towards it? But we're going to be kicking things off with a little talk about Derek White and the trade that happened this past season. Who is repping the fan base? He is Terrell Huff. Terrell, welcome back to Locked On Spurs.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me back.
You been watching the finals? You been keeping up with Derek White?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely been watching. It's been great to see him out there. And you know, I think obviously he's more of a role player than he was with the Spurs. But at the same time, you see him doing a lot of the same stuff that he was doing with the Spurs. So it's great to see him get an opportunity in the finals. And we'll see how everything plays out. But as of right now, I mean, you know, I think he's playing the role they brought him there for.
Exactly. Well, before we dive into more Derek White talk, make sure to follow Terrell on Twitter at Terrell Huff. And we thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day, free and available wherever you get podcasts. So White, you know, playing great. You mentioned he's fitting his role, you know, had an incredible game one versus the Warriors. I mean, he was pretty much the hero for them to lead them from that deficit. You look back at the deal, San Antonio and Boston, you know, Spurs ship off White, Spurs get back Jay Rich, Josh Richardson, draft picks. Do you think Spurs fans regret the trade seeing Derek White play at a high level right now?
Not from a basketball standpoint. I think from a sentimental standpoint, I do still come across a lot of my Spurs fan friends who, you know, feel like, you know, they hated to see him go and they really, you know, dug him as a player. But from a basketball standpoint, it's almost a consensus that, you know, it was a move that had to be made, especially when you look at the haul that they get back for him, because there's still that faith in the front office with the Spurs that you're going to be able to, if any front office can do something with three first round draft picks in the top 25, it's the Spurs.
Right.
So from a basketball standpoint, it's something that I feel like fans see it as necessary, that it had to be done. But you know, yeah, there's still that sentimental attachment. I mean, hey, I was a big fan of his as well. So yeah, I think it's more sentimental when they regret it. But I think from a basketball standpoint, no, I don't think most fans regret it.
Yeah. I think right now fans are maybe like 70% approve of the deal, 30% don't. But that 30% is very vocal. Some of the arguments you hear is that Derek White is the better player over DeJounte Murray. Derek White is the one that can help, be a little bit more impactful player than DeJounte Murray. Yeah, it's out there. Don't believe me. Look for yourself, everybody. You also hear Spurs, you know, gave up on White. You have even like talking heads on the sports media, Skip Bayless. Oh, Popovich ruined Derek White's confidence. And now look at him. What do you have to say about that noise? And what do the fans have to say about that noise?
Yeah, I don't think at that level you're going to ruin. And when I say that level for Derek White, not just at the NBA level, but just the fact that he's been in the league long enough to where I don't think there's going to be a situation where you're going to say Greg Popovich or anybody is going to, quote, ruin his confidence. I think when you look at having been in the league as long as he has, he's a veteran. I mean, yes, he's not, you know, he hasn't been in 10 years, but, you know, I mean, he's been in the league long enough to know what he can do on the court and know what, if anything, can deflect that, or what, if anything, can deter him as far as like what he knows how to do and how well he can do it. So I don't think that's I don't think there's any smoke there. I think this was a situation where, and we've seen this with Spurs in the past. We've seen guys that, you know, the fan base has kind of endeared themselves to, but we've also seen the Spurs put them in a position to be in a better situation, and maybe, you know, go a little bit deeper in the playoffs when they realize that the Spurs, you know, as a team, probably, I mean, yeah, you want to be optimistic at all times, but I think there was a point during the season where the front office looked at the team and said, yeah, you know what, we need to start seeing what we can do for the future here as far as draft picks and things like that. So when Boston comes to you and says, hey, especially Ime Udoka, who comes to you and says, hey, you know, I could probably use that guy. I know him directly. I've, you know, coached him. You know, hey, I could definitely use him based on the situation we're in right now. We also have to remember where Boston was at the time when they made that trade, because they were not looking like really good at all. You definitely didn't predict them being a final team at the point that they made the trade. So when I look at that and I see how that all works out, we know the Spurs are notorious for saying, hey, we can put you in a better situation and then we can make our team better in the long run. Let's go ahead and make this move. And I haven't seen too many situations where the Spurs have made I don't see too many situations where they've made trades or they've made roster moves or allowed players to go. I've never seen that be done in a situation where they weren't looking at the future and it wasn't something that was mutually acceptable for both sides. You know what I'm saying? Like there's very little bad blood when guys go out the door, no matter what the process is. So yeah, I wasn't worried about that. I've heard that and I don't buy into it at all.
It's funny you bring that up. I was thinking about that. I go like, what has been a bad blood situation? All I can think of is maybe Dennis Rodman. That was a bad blood one. Yeah, Dennis Rodman, Steven Jackson, Kawhi Leonard. God, I think, but if you look at the Spurs history, it's been minimal situations like that.
But what's funny with Kawhi, which I think Kawhi is the biggest, most high-profile one, and even that situation was beneficial to him.
Exactly.
If you really look at it, I mean, because the Spurs didn't get nothing for him. It's not like he just, you know, said he was going to retire and then, like, you know, like, disappeared and then popped up. I mean, like, they, you know, they got a pick for him. They got – Jakob has been a huge impact.
Yep.
DeMar DeRozan, you know, was an impact. He just wasn't a good fit. It's not like they didn't get anything for him. I think what you're looking at with that situation is that, you know, it was just a matter of him being looked at as a cornerstone going forward and not wanting to be here. So even that was somewhat beneficial for both sides. But, you know, it feels to me like that's what the Spurs aim for is, you know, you don't see the messiness and the sloppiness of like a James Harden type situation or a Kyrie Irving or even a Kevin Durant to a lesser extent. You don't see those types of sloppy situations where, you know, there's animosity from both sides in some way, shape or form. You don't really see that with the Spurs, and I didn't see that here either.
Yeah, I think maybe if you're going to put in that corner, then maybe Rodman was probably the real messiest. Rodman.
Yeah, he was just messy in general, though.
Yeah, he was just messy in general. I'm about to show my age here, but I was thinking about that too. Like, what have been like messy breakups with the Spurs and players? It was a little bit public, and I don't know how old you are, Terrell, but remember Mo Cheeks played for the Spurs for a cup of coffee?
That was the Ross Strickland deal.
He did not want to be in San Antonio. There was back in the day, there were reports that once the deal was made and he came to San Antonio, he stayed at the airport hotel. He refused to get a home.
I remember that story. Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a New York guy, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's understandable that when you're dealing with a New York guy, you know, there's always that thought in the back of your head, like, okay, this is a New York guy. We don't know if this dude is going to want to be here in San Antonio. Like, San Antonio is, if you're a guy that's from the East Coast, you know, San Antonio is a kind of place for you.
So, it is. You know,
So to that extent that he didn't want to leave the airport is one thing, but like at the same time, you know, I'm not shocked that maybe this wasn't probably his first choice to be here. Rod Strickland ended up being a better fit when it was all said and done.
Exactly.
It also brings into like a Derek Anderson. Remember Derek Anderson from the early 2000s. He his situation with the whole quote loyalty thing and all that, when realistically it was just, I think that would have worked out better. He went elsewhere and it didn't work out for him. And, you know, who knows how it could have worked out with the Spurs. So, I mean, you look at stuff like that. And there have been some instances, but also it's interesting because when you look at those time frames, we're talking about outside of maybe Kawhi, we're talking about a time frame. We're talking about late 90s, sure. early 2000s, early 90s. So we're going back to a time when this was almost completely a different organization almost. I mean, like, you know, it's funny to say, but the Spurs were not the same organization back then. Some of that was pre-Popovich. So, I mean,
it was
crazy to look at that and see that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's great to know that we're not that team now, because there are some teams out there that, you know, let's be realistic, have that vibe about them. When you think about the Rockets, and you think about Brooklyn, and you think about some of these other teams, Philadelphia, you know, you think about some teams that have had some players run up out of here in the last 4 or 5 years, and it's not been a good situation. So it'll be interesting.
It definitely will. Well, we're not done talking about this topic, Derek White trade, and Spurs fans are wishing that never happened. When we get back, we're going to just put a wrap on that topic, as well as beginning a chat about the Spurs coach Popovich coaching tree and if Spurs fans resent it. So before we do that, I want to talk to you about Bet Online. Look, Bet Online is your number one source for all your bet stats, sports information, everything you can think of. Find all the latest sports developments, odds, news, including this year's basketball championship matchup, the NHL hockey conference finals, the Major League Baseball, and of course, the latest fighting news from MMA to UFC to boxing. They even have odds if DeAndre Ayton will become a Spur. Go check that out. Even Zach LaVine, what are his odds of joining San Antonio? It's all there at betonline.net. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and more. What you want to do is head to the website today, use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet Online, where the game starts. We're back with Terrell Huff right here on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs. Follow him on Twitter at Terrell Huff. Let's go and put a wrap on that Derek White discussion. Overall, what I'm hearing is you're saying the fan base, majority of them are okay with it, despite the fact that, you know, he's having some moderate success with Boston. But it's interesting you say that he's just still doing the same thing he did in San Antonio.
Yeah, I mean, well, and when I say that, I mean from a standpoint of, you know, obviously the volume, if that's the right word for it, is a little bit less because he's coming off the bench. He's playing more of a six-man type role, which, you know, that was sort of a back-and-forth thing. I think eventually, you know, the point of him in San Antonio was to be a starter. I think with Boston, you know when he's coming in the game, you know what his job is, and you know that if I'm Boston, I'm thinking, okay, who can I have come out when Smart goes out, okay, and we're talking about the defensive player of the year, when Smart goes out, who can I have come in and that defensive intensity is still there. The ability to knock down that open jumper is still there. And maybe, you know, you could even say a little bit more creativity going to the basket, and maybe even a little bit of a better passer, you know, at least from a talent standpoint, is what you have in Derek White. So he's still serving the same role, but like I said, it's just the volume probably is not always going to be there. You're going to have nights where he may not give you more than 7 or 8 points, but he may give you that 4 or 5 assists, and he may give you, you know how Derek White was. He may give you 3, you know, charge calls. So,
I mean, right.
Like that in itself is almost worth points to begin with. So I think, you know, that is still there. We don't see a wholesale difference in him, which is funny because we, you know, over the last 20, 30 years, there's always been that running joke about how you get these guys that are like backups, or maybe they can't get off the bench half of the time and get for the Spurs, and then they go to other teams and they look like the, you know, sixth man of the year, or in some cases they become starters, and it's like, whoa, what was this? So it's very funny that when you think about that.
Well, there was that reaction, remember, in his game 1 play against the Warriors. A lot of fans were like, where was this Derek White?
Yeah, and they don't seem to remember, though, that the series against Denver a few years back when he was great in that series.
Oh, yeah,
he had one really huge game. But I mean, he set the tone for that series. And when you're talking about a 2 seed versus a 7 seed in that situation, Spurs being the 7 seed, what he was able to give that team and taking that to a 7-game series, that was crazy, because he really was, you know, in some circles, the biggest part of that, because they were really playing off what he was able to do. And a lot of people didn't think that that series would have gone as long as it did and it's been as close as it was if it wasn't for Derek White's play. So, you know, I saw it. I'm not even remotely surprised at what I'm seeing out of him, and or for that matter, that he didn't do the exact same thing in game two, because, again, you make adjustments. These teams have obviously scouted each other. They obviously know a lot about each other just by virtue of watching what, you know, when you have the playoffs coming through, it's like you have a chance to really just watch a handful of teams based on what they're doing, and so that you can prepare for them. Even if it's, if you're in the West and you're looking at a team in the East, you know, you can still have guys that are out there looking at tape. And so they know what Derek White brings to the table. They also know what Derek White brings to the table, considering the fact that they played with him quite a bit more when he was with the Spurs. So, being that he was in the West. So, I mean, they know what they're getting with him. We know what they're getting, obviously, as fans. And I'm not surprised at all. And it's funny, because that was the least thing from my mind was, you know, well, where was this when he was with the Spurs? Because we saw it. It's just that, you know, there's a difference when you're playing with a certain group of players versus another. And the makeup of that Boston team is so much different that, you know, you're going to see nights where he's going to have great games because he's out there with a group of guys that, you know, maybe he compliments in a totally different way and they compliment him in a different way. So I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, his adjustment to Boston has been minimal. I believe there's an article right now on Ken's5.com/Spurs about the quote unquote biggest adjustment he had to make. This was interesting what he had to say. He says fouling more. He says Udoka encourages everybody to foul more. I mean, but he clarified that by saying, you know, don't make dumb fouls. But that just goes to the what Ime wants out of White, out of the players, is to be more aggressive. They take a risk. Right. You know, go for it.
Yeah, it's that defensive that defensive mindset. When you're in there is a little bit different with that team. I mean, remember, we're talking about the number one defensive team in the league. So, and so I think your mentality, the Spurs have always had a defensive mentality that's really been their bread and butter over the last couple of decades. But it's different when you have a group of guys out there that include one defensive player of the year, and then you've got, you know, a guy like Jason Tatum who can guard all five positions. You know, and dang near play all five positions. I mean, he had 13 assists in game one. So, I mean, that tells you that he's with a group of guys out there that are almost interchangeable to an extent when you look at their top guys. So, I think he fits in great. It's funny that, the fouling more thing was funny because, you know, I think with the Spurs, the mentality is like, okay, can you defend really well without?
Well, he did mention about what Pop preaches. He said Pop preaches with him when during his time in San Antonio was don't foul, keep him off the line, don't let him get trips to the free throw line. So then he goes to Boston, and here's Ime, a Pop disciple, good segue, by the way, to our next segment, saying, no, foul more. Foul more, take risks, take chances. Don't make dumb fouls, take smart fouls. But yeah, it's good to see White succeeding in Boston with Ime and Will Hardy. You know, then across the sidelines, you got Steve Kerr. You see a common thread here, people, huh? A lot of Spurs connections. But we're gonna be talking about that in the next segment. If Spurs fans kind of resent it now, do Spurs fans look at the Coach Popovich tree and say, you know what, that's great, but should some of that magic have stayed in San Antonio? We're going to do that to close out the show. But before we do that, we have an important favor to ask of you. We put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and don't like about Locked On Podcast. Go to LockedOnPodcast.com/survey right now to get started. Doesn't take very long. Everyone that completes, they get the survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. Make sure take that survey right now. LockedOnPodcast.com/survey. Thanks for your help. We are back with Terrell Huff right here on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs. He is repping the fan base today. We just talked about the trade between San Antonio and Boston, and if Spurs fans resent that deal or not. Sounds to me that Terrell is saying, nah, the majority of Spurs fans are okay with the deal. But one thing Terrell and I brought up right before the break here was a lot of Spurs connections going on right now from the coaching ranks. Terrell, wasn't it? Did you see that stat, Terrell? The entire playoff field minus Minnesota had a Spurs connection. That was just ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's crazy, but at the same time, it's not shocking.
Right. But it begs a question, though. This is a good one to end out the show here. Do you think Spurs fans regret it? Now, I don't mean it to, you know, belittle what Popovich, you know, and the coaching staff have done this entire. They spawned a bunch of great execs and coaches from Becky Hammon out of the WNBA to what we're seeing right now in the NBA Finals, and as we mentioned, the playoff field. But do Spurs fans kind of have a little resentment towards it, saying, you know what, some of that magic should have stayed in San Antonio?
When my friends that are Spurs fans and I, when we have conversations about the playoffs as it goes right now, it's a source of pride for us. It's a huge source of pride. I mean, we're constantly, the conversation always ends up veering towards, that's a Popovich guy. When we look at that, when we look at those benches and we see, you know, the Mike Browns and the Steve Kerrs, and we look at, you know, Boston and we see Ime Udoka, it's interesting because, I mean, even to a lesser extent, and this is funny because I'm embarrassed to say I didn't even notice, but even to a lesser extent, Boston, Damon Stoudemire is on Boston's bench.
That's true.
He used to play for the Spurs for a hot minute. Like, I think about, like, little things like that, and I kind of laugh because you start noticing it that much more as you see Pop winding down to the end of his career. And so it's a source of pride for all of the Spurs fans that I associate with, and we have conversations about what's going on in the playoffs. It's been a huge source of pride for us. I think it's fantastic. I also think on a lower key note, these are all guys, you know, and they're going to have varying levels of success with these other squads. But here's the thing. There's going to be a situation where all of these guys are going to be guys that they don't forget that Spurs Popovich, you know, way of coaching, of you know, that's why there's so much success out there. So when I see that, all I see are guys that, you know, when we have a Pop, you know, Pop in his early 70s, all I see is guys that are potential coaches. You see, you know, what's going on with Snyder right now in Utah and how he's supposedly out the door there. Another guy that, I mean, I think Pop, they talk about how he used to text and call Pop, like, you know, when they were in the playoffs. Like,
I forgot about Stoudemire on that bench too. So it just proves that there's so much Spurs connection, but you see it though. You see Spurs fans kind of regret or resent it a little bit, saying, oh, look, Will Hardy's on that bench. He didn't have to go. Becky, the biggest example, you know, look at her success in the WNBA right now. That should have stayed here. Adam Silver even said, we thank Popovich for the Spurs and what he's doing, developing coaches and execs out in San Antonio. But does Terrell Huff wish that some of that magic stayed in San Antonio? Do you wish? But the problem is that means Pop has to go. You know, Becky Hammon stays. Okay, well, Pop has to go. Will Hardy stays. Pop has to go. You see, like, something's got to give.
Right. No, that's a great point. Because there, in that process, you're saying, okay, do we kind of jettison Greg Popovich at a point when he's probably not quite at a point where he needs to go? Like, I'm not of the idea that Pop is done, that the game is passing by. I've heard that said, and I do not feel that's the case. I feel like what we're seeing right now, even in a situation where you're playing for the play-in game or you're in the play-in game, what I see right now with this Spurs team is, it's interesting because I feel like Pop is coaching better now than he did at those points when, you know, they were always in the playoffs, always in the championship picture or winning championships. Because I felt like when there was a Tim, a Tony, a Manu, a Kawhi to a lesser extent, I felt like when those guys were here, I felt like Coach Pop was able to coach them through certain situations with his expertise. Like, okay, we're in the finals. We're here because you guys are talented and amazing, in some cases, generational talent at, you know, playing basketball. But there's going to be situations where I'm going to have to get you guys through it. So that Pop is still there. The reason why we're not seeing the record is because we don't have those guys here anymore that are on the court. But that being said, you can still see in winning 30-some-odd games with a team that realistically, if you compare them to some other teams in the league, unfortunately, even some of the teams in the league that are not very good have a better record in some cases than the Spurs. It's kind of odd to say. So when I think about that, I'm not ready. I don't think Pop is done. You know, now he may decide he's not coming back, but I don't think he's done. So when I see these other coaches going off and doing other things, I look at it the same way as I look at it with the players. We talked about it earlier. These players, they, you know, hey, this is going to be a better opportunity for you. This is going to be a chance for you to put this on your resume. This is going to be a chance for you to go off and not be under my wing and maybe go off and do your own thing and see what you can, and let the rest of the league see what you're capable of and not be, you know, overshadowed by me or this organization. And then guess what? At some point, things happen. And, I mean, you see a relatively successful Denver team, like we talked about with Quinn Snyder. We see a relatively successful team that goes to the playoffs pretty regularly, and he's like, yeah, I'm done. You know, like, I don't know if that's because, you know, players have tuned him out. I don't know what the deal is. But that's a situation where he was a Pop guy, and there's an opportunity where, hey, who knows? Pop may say, you know what, and you know how Pop is. We won't know. It'll just be a random press conference one day, and then boom, he's out the door. So, you know, you could see that happen. So the reason why it doesn't upset me or it doesn't, you know, make me up angry that these other coaches are doing great is because that's a whole pool of coaching talent that realistically could be back here. You know, I just – that's – it's a weird way to look at it because you don't want to say, hey, I want to see that guy get fired in Boston or I want to see that guy get fired in Utah so he can come coach here. I don't want to put it in that term, but let's be realistic. These guys make business decisions all the time. These coaches do it all the time. They say, you know what, I'm ready to step down. I'm ready for the next challenge. And then, you know, if they're kind of – set in a situation where, hey, we're going to the playoffs, but we're not really moving beyond that. I want to go somewhere where I feel like we might have a better opportunity to build something. And the next thing you know, they're back with the Spurs. So it doesn't bother me at all because, again, it's a source of pride. It means that it's not a fluke. It wasn't just, hey, we got Tim, Tony, and Manu and Kawhi, and that's why we won all those championships. He's literally teaching other guys how to go to other organizations and win championships. And to me, I mean, that's your answer right there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's what we're talking about, the Popovich coaching tree. There's much speculation that Snyder could be the next. And if you look at it, it's weird because all the stars are lining up. Rumor that this is going to be Pop's last season. It's being reported that Quinn Snyder's going to take 1 year off. He resigned from the Jazz. He's a former Spurs guy. In this case, the G League at the then was called the Austin Toros. The Spurs are in a developmental phase. I don't know if you know this, but Quinn Snyder still holds the record for the most developmental player sent from the G League or then the D League to the NBA. So it's interesting to see how the stars are lining up. Maybe this coaching tree will come back. A branch will just reattach to the trunk and come on back to San Antonio, but it's definitely something we're interested in watching if Snyder is going to be back in San Antonio. But hey, we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about Derek White's play with the Boston Celtics? Do you regret the deal the Spurs made? Do you think they should have held on to Derek White and maybe traded somebody else? And what do you think about what Terrell had to say about Derek White, as well as the Coach Popovich coaching tree? Do you resent it? Do you wish some of that magic stayed in San Antonio instead of seeing it being farmed out to the rest of the league? Let us know. Terrell, tell us how they can talk with you on social media.
Yeah, at Jarrell Huff on Twitter, as you mentioned. Same thing on Instagram, and not TikToking yet or anything like that.
Not
but
yet.
Those are the two main ones, man. So you'll catch me there.
Yeah. Before I let you go, are you pro Snyder in San Antonio or anti Snyder?
I like him. I see some things that he did in Utah that kind of mirror the way the Spurs look to me, as far as like when you look at the type of players he has, you know, you look what they, you know, look at what they do. I mean, obviously, you know, when you think about a guy like, oh my gosh, he won MVP and I'm forgetting dude's name. You know how I forget names. Djokovic. When I look at that, you know, like I think about that and I'm like, you know, yeah. I'm thinking Utah. Dude, I'm sorry. Gobert.
Oh, okay.
Gobert I'm sorry. I'm thinking centers and my names are horrible. But when I think about Gobert, the Jamal Murray thing was kind of weird there. But I mean, I think about the players he had, and I look at that makeup of that team, and I see similarities with the Spurs, and I see where a situation where he could very well probably do a lot with this team already, and then whatever they get in the draft. So
yeah, he's a developmental coach. Yeah. That's his
and
thing.
And that's the big part. Yeah. That's the big part. It's the developmental aspect. And so to me, I think he would be a wonderful guy to go after if you can. And I would love to have him here. Again, you know, it's that tree, man. Anybody that was on that tree to a level, especially from a developmental level, that has shown that they know how to get the best out of players, bring them on in, man. Even if he comes in and does like a, you know, pop stage for another year and he comes in and kind of does a consultant role type thing, which we've seen that happen before where guys come in and, hey, I'll just hang out in the background and just check you out. And then, boom, he just picks it up from there. Why not, man? I'd love to see it.
All right. Well, there's Terrell's take, and he told you how to follow him. Here's what you do for Locked On Spurs. Subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, now on YouTube as well. And we thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. Now, look, it's that time. It's getting close. NBA draft is here. So make sure to go check out Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA, mock drafts, player rankings, and, of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Terrell, Locked On Spurs just finished doing its mocked draft with the Locked On NBA teams. I made a trade to move up.
That's my thought process. I think two of those first rounders need to go to move up in the lottery.
But I think some fans are going to hate me for what I gave up to move up. So on the lookout for that, everybody. Terrell will probably be grilling me as soon as he sees it. Yeah, you did what, Jeff? But anyway, for Terrell Huff, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.